Okay, this morning we're going to revisit the book of Revelation. It says the revelation of St. John the Divine. I don't know where they got that at. But anyway, it's the unveiling of Christ in you. That's what the true meaning of that is. That's the whole meaning of this book, is to understand the pressures and the hardships about what God is going to take us through to get us to the perfection. Okay, He's going to put us through the philipsis, the pressures. Okay? I'll read the chapter and then we'll go back and do it. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto our God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches, which are Smyrna, which are in Asia, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto the fine brass, as if they were burned in a furnace. And his voice was the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shines in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. And the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which you saw are the seven churches. Now, there's a bunch of meat in there. Back in the first verse it says, the revelation or the disclosure of truth, okay, concerning things before known. That sound like remembrance? Mm-hmm. Doesn't it? You knew it before, but now it's been revealed again. Okay, of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show things that were withdrawn from view are made visible to all. So he's going to show things that were withdrawn from view from everybody, but now he's going to show it to some people.
Bring it back to your remembrance.
Absolutely, but he's only going to be to a few right now, the first fruits. Unto his servants things which must shortly or in a brief space of time come to pass. And he sent and signified. And that word signified is semaneo in the Greek, and it means to be shown by signs and symbols, or make known by signs. Okay? And we know God is written through the Scriptures in metaphors and theophanies and Christophanies and, you know, parables and all kinds of symbolic language, Edwin. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what he's talking about. This whole book is full of signs and symbols to explain what God's doing, and it's not meant for everybody to understand right now. If it were, his disciples would not have asked the question, why do you speak in parables? He said, because it's for you, the children of the kingdom, to understand, the rest not. Once it's already in the kingdom, see, not a problem. And it said he sent and signified it by, literally the word by should be through his angel or through his messengers to his servant John. Okay? So he sent somebody to bring the message to his servant John. Who do you think that angel was, that messenger was?
The Christ.
It was Jesus. He was the one that came. Jesus was the man that walked around and gave this stuff to him. I think he was seeing Jesus himself. And he said the revelation of Jesus Christ, right to the first line. Okay? So I believe it was Jesus the Anointed. Okay? And I hate to say it, because a lot of people think when you say Jesus Christ, it's like Jesus was his first name and Christ is his last name, which is not true. He was Jesus the Anointed, who bare record of the Word of God. Okay, he was a witness of the Word of God and of the testimony, right? Excuse me, he was a witness, or he bare record, or he was a witness of the Word of God, or the Christ of God, and the testimony was evidence given of Jesus Christ, and as much as he saw or knew, that same word there where it said that he saw is also the word knew or know. So the things he saw and the things he knew was the things he was revealing. Jesus had an experience with the Father, and he saw things and knew things that no one in the flesh yet understood, did they? But he had to reveal them to us, and Father had a way for him to do it. It was by signs and symbols. So it wasn't plainly spoken. And the disciples asked him in another place, why do you not speak plainly? He says, because it's not for you to, not for everybody else to understand yet. Have to leave it at that. The next verse, I got kind of something here that I never picked up on before, but let's see what it says. Blessed is he that reads, okay, or the ones that read, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Now, the word hear, what does that sound like to you? Something going in your ear?
What you hear and understand.
Okay, that's the key. Mm-hmm. Because this word doesn't mean hear, it means understand. Mm-hmm. Okay, blessed are they that read this and understand it. See? And again, you only understand it because the Spirit of God gives you the understanding.
Yeah.
See? It's not like anybody can read this book and understand what it says. That's why there's over 25,000 denominations in the world. Because everybody's reading it carnally and just saying what their mind tells them rather than what the Spirit of God is saying.
Right.
If someone is listening to it in the Spirit of God, speaking by the Spirit of God, there might be little idiosyncrasies in the word that I use to express something versus somebody else does to express it. But they're basically the same thought process. They're going to say the same thing. If you're listening to it, you're going to say and see basically the same thing that anybody else does that truly sees by the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yeah.
There might be little flaws, or what'd you say?
Tweak it.
It might need to be tweaked a little bit or something. Everybody's got their own little things, you know, that they say or do. But that doesn't change what God said. So it's very similar.
Maybe not complete.
No, it's not. So you can pick up the rest of it from someone else you hear maybe, and they say, oh, you know, that does fit better than what I was saying.
Yeah, it's more precise.
Yeah, the correct, precise knowledge, right?
Yes.
It says, and the ones that hear or understand the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. See, there's three things. They read it, they understand it, and they keep it, right? Mm-hmm. Because the time, the word right there is, oh gosh, I can't say the word now, but anyway. Chronos, I think it is. It's a set or proper time. Chronos is a set or proper time. Chronos.
In verse 3, right?
Yeah.
It says, what, this word right here, Chronos, or whatever? Is that what it's saying?
Where are we at? Oh, we can look up here. Kairos, yeah, that's it. That's the right word.
Okay.
I don't know why I say Kairos. Very close to that word, but
okay.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's Kairos, you're right.
Okay.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I made a little note here at the bottom page, what we were just talking about, the words read and hear. Read means to know again. I just saw this, what I made a note down here. To know again. Mm-hmm. So we remembered it, right? To know it again, and to hear it means to comprehend or to understand. So,
yeah, set it properly.
Okay. Now, John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace, we know what that is. Divine influence in the heart of man and the reflection of that into their lifestyle. Be to you and peace from him which is, or which is present, and from the, and which was, and which is to come, or is appearing, and from the seven spirits which are, where? Before the throne. The word before actually is in the presence of his throne. And what does a throne represent?
Authority.
It's authority, or it's a place of rulership. Same thing. If you're ruling, you have authority, don't you? So it's a place of rulership. And who is that one they're talking about?
The Christ.
The Christ. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten or the firstborn of the dead. He was the first one to came back to do what he did. And the Prince of Kings. Now the word prince, really, what is that in your mind? What do you hear, what do you see when you someone says prince? He's the Prince of Kings.
Someone with a rulership, but not like a full king.
The son of the king.
Well, but see, if we're looking at it that way, but what it's really is that she got it right, Lois got it right there, where it's a ruler. He's the ruler over all the kings of the earth. Big pardon?
Mine has ruler.
That's the correct rendering of it. What translation is that?
New King James.
New King James?
Yeah.
Okay. It's pretty good translation anyway.
The ruler.
Yeah. He's the ruler of kings of the earth. He sets them up and takes them down, so why wouldn't he be the ruler?
Yeah.
Okay. The one that loved us and what?
Cleansed us or washed us.
Okay, that's not a clear rendering of what the language says. It loosed us from the sin by his own blood. He loosed us from the sin. See, he come to set you free, didn't he? And by him dying, what happened? It wasn't that we got cleansed by his blood in the sense what they're talking about. He washed us like we took a bath. He set us free.
It unveiled the freedom.
Unveiled the freedom that we have in Christ, in us. We can make a mistake. He told us this through David's life. Man, David made so many mistakes as a king of Israel. He done everything wrong, didn't he?
Yeah.
And God kept saying, there's a man after my own heart. He's showing you the compassion of God and the love of God, but nobody looked at it. All they could look at is at the negative side. Look what David did. Look how bad he was. They didn't see that God kept saying, it's all right, I love you. I love you. Come on. I love you. Come on. Never gave up. He just kept him coming, didn't he?
Yeah.
No panic about it. He just said, it's all right. And verse 6, like we talked a while ago, and he's made us kings and priests to our God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your Father. That word, his, is not the correct rendering. See, he's made us kings and priests to our God, and our Father or your Father, okay, whichever way you want to say it. Either one of those words is right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pronoun, I guess, what you call it. Yeah, pronoun.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not specific, and you know, his doesn't work.
It's all of us, we're all.
Yeah. He's our Father.
Our Father.
To him be glory and what?
Dominion.
And that's literally the word power, dunamis, I believe. Into the ages, okay, into the age of ages, amen. Verse 7, it goes on to say, behold, he comes, he appears, not with, but what? In the midst of clouds. Now, what are clouds?
People.
Overcomers. Remember what it said in Hebrews? We're compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses?
Yes.
The overcomers. And every eye shall see him, and they which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail or beat their chest in grief because of him. And even so, amen. But the word even so should be yes. Okay. Should this be yes? Yes, amen. Verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is the one being and the one that was and the one appearing. That's what it literally says. There's actually five words there, Greek words into that one. Says the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Okay? Verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in what?
Tribulation.
Tribulation. Did John have an easy life?
No, he's just like us. Everyone has tribulation.
Well, that's what I'm trying to, that's my point. If every man or woman of God in this book went through pure hell in their lives, what makes us think, or makes the church world think, that you've got a cakewalk? It's not easy. If your life is that easy, something tells me you're not going the right way. You're ducking something.
Because you're lying to yourself.
You're lying to everybody. Okay? But he's our brother and companion in our pressures, our tribulations. Philippus is the word. And in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. And he says, was in the isle called Patmos. And it, literally the language says, was caused to be in that isle of Patmos. He didn't have a choice, did he?
Why was he on the Isle of Patmos?
Because he was being tested.
Because he was telling the truth.
Sure it is. But what's the word Patmos mean? My killing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place to finish off. See, in that isolation, that's a place to finish off self. Two men in the earth, one must be taken and one must be left.
My kill.
Which one do you think is going to be taken away? The Adam man or the Christ man?
The Adam man.
The one that thinks he's God.
Yeah, the one that's trying to be God. Mm-hmm. The one that wants to be God.
And it's painful to
sure it is. Give yourself
going through
a,
that. Yeah.
Sure it is. If it's easy, everybody'd be doing it, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Nobody puts their vacation schedule for Patmos.
No, that's not pleasant experience. No.
It says. I was caused to be in the isle called Patmos, my killing, through the word of God. Whose choice was that? It wasn't his, was it? And it's not yours when he puts you in that pressure, in that wine press.
Yeah.
And through the testimony or the evidence given of Jesus Christ. See, what he was saying and doing put him right there. When you talk this truth, you got to hang on because it's going to be a hell of a ride. It is. It's going to be tough.
Now the living says, I was on the island of Patmos, exiled there for preaching the word of God, for telling what I knew about Jesus Christ.
There you go. It says it very plainly, doesn't it? And that's exactly what this says, but that says it very plainly. verse 10. I was caused to be in the Spirit in the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, a lot of people take that literally and said it was a trumpet back there talking to him. No. Trumpets don't talk.
And it's just that they're loud.
He just said it was a loud voice. Mm-hmm. It was very clear. Trumpets make a very clear sound.
They declare.
It gets your attention.
It gets your attention. Mm-hmm. And he said this sound came. And said, I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, right?
I like that word.
I just passed over
something.
You passed over 11.
I saw the candlestick again down there, and it messed me up. About the trumpet, rather. Okay. This great trumpet.
We're
in verse 11 now.
Yeah. Yes.
Saying, I am Alpha. I exist is literally what it should say. I exist. Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, that Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, look what he says here, though. What you see, write in a book. He was listening to a voice that said, now, what you see, write down. Yeah. It wasn't just what he was hearing. He said, what you see. You're going to see all kinds of things, and then you're going to write it down. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Send it to the seven churches.
Now, these seven churches, now, we know that seven is not a literal number.
Correct.
It's a symbolic number. Number of perfection. Fulfillment. So these seven churches, do you really think it's seven organizations? Baptist, Methodist, but, you know.
No.
Overall.
It's nothing to do with buildings or organizations. It's about people. And I would say it's probably seven different types of people, just like there's seven spirits in the land. You know what I'm saying? So you could line those up when you look back and look at what they mean. You can line those up with Deuteronomy 7, the sevenites in the land.
Wouldn't it be that it encompassed all humanity?
It is, but that's why he's saying, though, that these seven churches, these seven different types of people that you have to deal with. Ephesus means permitted.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that would be probably the top one right there, one of the top ones. Smyrna means myrrh, which was a gift. Pergamos, which means fortified, and that speaks of pride. And Thyatira, it's the odor of affliction. Sardis is red ones, that kind of speaks to the Adamic nature. And to Philadelphia, the brotherly love. And into Laodicea, justice of the people. You know, kind of a democratic thing. We're going to get even. They deserve it, you know.
Judgment.
But these things here, and I didn't go as far as to break it all down for that, but I really in my spirit believe that that is tied into those seven spirits that's in humanity that he mm-hmm. talked about in Deuteronomy 7:1. Just like it talked about, what was her name in the Mary Magdalene mm-hmm. had the seven spirits.
Right.
And they had to cast seven spirits out of her in the Gospels. So that I think that's all tied together. I really feel that.
Would that be the seven spirits that's inside of each side of one that he's going to deal with you in this?
In this
Patmos, that's
yes.
going to kill him.
Yep.
He's going to take care of that booger.
He's
right
going to get take care of this.
Yeah, and I mean, it's past what's painful. You have to give that stuff up.
Yep, you got no choice in the matter. Verse 12, he goes on and says, and I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks.
I like the word turned, when I turned.
Yeah.
Just like what it was saying about the different eyes of the different things in us.
Yeah.
When I was dealing with that
yourself.
Brutal honesty
mm-hmm.
in my killing, when I had to put that thing to death.
Mm-hmm. It's a process.
Yeah.
Seven-step process.
That'd be kind of almost like metanoia.
Right,
it's a process of getting there. Seven different processes.
Yeah, you've got to change your
and
mind.
If we're hard-headed, it might be 10 or 12 of the same one going back over and over.
It could be like the Israelites getting around that mountain.
What do you think
he
put that in there for?
Yeah, and then where it could be like Jesus in 40
days. That's right.
And a lot quicker.
Yeah, I'll choose the 40 days. they're pretty painful, though.
Yeah, all men.
Okay. But being turned, he saw seven golden candlesticks, actually lampstands. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, what does a candlestick or a lampstand, what is its purpose?
Gives light.
Holds the light.
Holds the light. Not gives light, but holds the light. You're right. Now, what are we?
We're light bearers.
We're lampstands.
Mm-hmm. We're light bearers.
We're holding the light of Christ. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We're the vessel that's holding it. And just like Joe said the other day up there, I may be the only Christ someone ever sees. Mm-hmm. And see, that's our responsibility, to let people look at us as the Christ. See, we're the ones carrying Christ within us. We're the lampstand. We're the golden lampstands. Okay? Or candlesticks. Candlesticks really isn't there, it's lampstand. And said, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, in the midst of the seven, was one likened to the Son of Man. Mm-hmm. Who would that be? It was the Christ. They're the one, those seven, and that's the perfection. That's that many-membered body of Christ. The one body, many members. And it says, likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, and girt about his breast with a golden girdle. And literally, it's a belt around him to make kind of make like a pocket that he had there, you know. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire. They're describing all these techniques of looking at him being purified. Okay? One likened to the sun. How much more purified could anything be than what's on the sun?
Wouldn't he be explaining the reflection of himself?
Absolutely. It's a reflection of you.
Well, what I saw when I turned, this is what I saw.
You saw yourself.
Yeah.
You should see yourself in him. But all these things going on, he had, you know, he had this white linen clothes on, and he had the girdle on, he had his hair was white, his head and his hair were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. Everything's speaking about purification. Everything's speaking about he's been through his purification.
Wow.
Jesus is the example, the pattern son, correct? So if he's went through all this and this is what he looks like, guess what we should look like?
Exactly the same.
Same thing. We're a reflection, a direct reflection of him. His feet were like fine brass or burned copper refined in, you know, it's a refined lifestyle. And as if they were burned in a furnace, like they were refined in a furnace.
Your walk has changed.
Your lifestyle's totally changed. His voice is the sound of many waters. Many waters is the many nations. That's in Revelation 17. Turn over to 17:15. Not too far. 17:15. Always on you. No hurry.
I was writing that down just for reference.
Yeah, it's okay.
This is my new one. I don't have all my other notes. Right.
It's all right. You get used to it. Okay, 17:15. And he said unto me, the waters which you saw where the whore sits are the peoples and the multitude and the nations and the tongues. It's the many waters is the many different nations and peoples.
And that's that was revealed to you through that light.
Through that very light.
Mm-hmm. That's within.
Yep. And see, and he had in his right hand seven stars. What's the right hand speak of?
Power and authority.
Full power. It's full power and authority, okay? It's the spiritual ministry, okay? And it's in total his control in his right hand. He had seven stars, right? And stars speak of the spiritual ministry. And out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. What is that?
Word.
It's the Word of God. It cuts both ways. It cuts going in, it cuts coming out, you know. And his countenance was as the sun that shines in his strength. Pure white light. And when I saw him, I fell to his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Now notice he didn't lay his left hand on him, he put his right hand on him. Why right hand?
He's giving you the authority.
He was transferring that power to you, just like what he had. See? All this means something, and most people never get to find out what this means. If you don't understand it, like we said from Galatians there, if we don't understand it, how are we ever going to benefit from it? I mean, we might as well sit and read a comic book if we're not going to understand what he's really talking to us. And when I saw it, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, fear not, I am the first and the last. It's finality, right?
All in all.
That's it. And I am he, or the one that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive. I be alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys, or literally hold the keys. And what is a key?
It opens everything.
It's power and authority again. You have, see, it can lock up things or it can unlock things. So he has this power and authority again of hell and the grave. Okay, and it's hell and death, but it should be the grave and death. The word hell right there is grave. I have the power and authority of the grave and of death. So why should we fear death?
You shouldn't.
No way. I mean, it's inevitable we will pass in this human form. We just step over to the other side. And what we achieve in this life, in our understanding and remembrance of all these things that God has placed within us, that places us on the other side.
No.
My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow.
No, well, I just, I heard rubber meets the road, is meeting the road.
That's what it's doing. If you understand this, it's meeting the road, you're solidifying your position.
This is it.
There's no game.
It's not no wishy-washy stuff in it. This is
the thing you go to the Isle of Patmos for.
Yeah, this is no getting around it, no weaseling all over trying to get around it. Just do it.
No princess cruise.
No. Absolutely not. Verse 19, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And literally it says, shall be in the midst of these things. Write everything you see that's going on in the midst of all this stuff. Not hereafter, but in the midst of this stuff. And the mystery, and that word mystery is the word mysterion. Mm-hmm. And it means it's a secret revealed to remain secret. So it's like, when you see it, you see it, but it's still a secret to everybody else. Many people around you still won't be able to see it, will they?
No.
Because it's revealed by the Spirit of God, not by intellect.
And that's where we get, when we do hear that thing, our flesh immediately wants to go run
scream
and share it to someone, and he's like, wait a minute, you never even took time for that for yourself.
You never, what's the word you say? Take it in and metabolize it in your blood. There's a word for it.
Digest it.
That's another word for it. Not the one I'm looking for, but that's very close to it.
Think of it.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Consume.
Nope. There's a word. You take it and it's like... What?
Assimilate
it into... Yeah, thank you. Yeah. It's assimilated.
Wow.
Into...
I'm on fire.
Okay. So, she's doing good today.
That's good.
But to assimilate that into our body, we have to take it in and assimilate it in before it does us any good. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's for us to assimilate.
The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand. So the seven stars was in his right hand. What else could that be than the overcoming sons of God?
Mm-hmm.
See, because stars are what? In the law of first mentions.
I was back to
Abraham. Abraham. Joseph
stars,
saw a vision in Genesis 37, and he said, I saw the sun, the moon, and seven and 11 stars bowing to me. And he told it to his dad. His dad got pretty perturbed. He said, and he interpreted it by being upset. He said, shall I and your mother and the 11 brothers bow to you, that you're the young son.
Yeah.
They didn't like it in the house, because back then in their culture, the oldest was the boss. And the youngest was taking their place, and they just didn't like that at all.
So this power and authority up here that he's turning over to you is kind of coming to fruition.
That's what he said. Which I saw in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the lampstands carrying that light, that possessing the light that we are, And are we not called to be the lights of the world?
Mm-hmm.
And the seven stars are the angels or the messengers of the seven churches. Again, not Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, any of that stuff. It's the seven churches. It's not a literal number. It's the perfection of all them in one body. And the seven candlesticks, that's the messengers and the pastors, it says, are the seven churches, which also says, are the seven churches. See?
The NAU says it's the messengers, mm-hmm. or the angels,
yeah.
Of the seven messengers.
The seven candlesticks, which you saw, are the seven churches. See? And the churches we know are not organizations or buildings. It's people. And if people can't understand that, it's because God has not yet permitted them, so we have no right to be upset with them. Right?
Right.